Call your next witness, please.
Calling someone out of order.
A witness called by defendant?
Yes, Your Honor, due to scheduling difficulty.
Would you please state your full name and spell your last name for the record?
Full name is Constance Brick, last name spelled B-R-I-C-K.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Ms. Brick. Can you tell us what your current employment position is?
Yes, I'm Director of Finance at Illumina.
And when did you join Illumina?
In March of 1999.
You happen to remember what your employee number was?
Yes, I'm employee number 16.
What was your title when you joined the company?
Controller.
What exactly does a controller do?
I was in charge of all the financial aspects of the company, everything from payroll, making sure bills are paid, administering the stock, closing the books, doing budgeting, making sure capital equipment was tracked. I also did some grant administration.
So you were involved in the grant application process?
Yes, from the budget standpoint.
Who did you report to?
Dr. Stupnagel. He was acting CEO, and we did not have a CFO at that point, so he had that role.
Did you meet Dr. Zarnik prior to his working there?
Only in the interview process.
What is your education and background?
I graduated from UC Santa Barbara with an accounting degree. I worked 3.5 years in public accounting for one of the, they were the Big Six at the time, Ernst & Young. After that, I went into private industry, worked for various high-tech manufacturing companies for 6 years, always in a finance role.
And let me show you what's been marked as a trial exhibit. It's a floor plan. It's the second floor. It's marked as Trial Exhibit 7-3. Can you see that?
Yes.
From your employee number 16, can I infer that you had about 15 other colleagues at Illumina at the time you joined?
Yes.
And where did you sit when you first joined Illumina?
Should I walk up and point?
Yes, point it out.
I sat in this. This is a cubicle. I sat right here.
Where did Dr. Zarnik sit?
When I joined the company, he sat in this office.
That's a private, hard-walled office?
Yes.
Where is the door to the office?
The door to the office is here, and the opening to my cubicle, there's no door, was right there.
Just to be clear, where you sat was a cubicle that didn't have walls that go all the way up to the ceiling.
Right. Actually, this is drawn a little wrong. The opening was actually here to this cubicle. The wall was here, and the opening was here.
How long did you sit there?
I started in March and sat there until about November or December of the same year.
Did Dr. Zarnik continue to sit in that private office during that time period?
Dr. Zarnik moved. I don't remember the exact time, but before I moved, Dr. Zarnik moved into, we call this the big room, and Dr. Zarnik moved to this desk.
The jurors have heard a little about that. So the big room is where a number of the scientists sat?
Yes.
Can you point out where the glass windows are, too? They heard about windows.
Windows for the big room?
To the street.
There's a street here, and there's glass windows here, and there's a window here, but this is sort of the courtyard in front of the building.
Can you indicate where Todd Dickinson sat?
Right here.
Where did Steve Barnard sit?
Steve Barnard sat right here.
You remember where Kevin Gunderson sat?
Right here. I was in there a lot. I know where a lot of them sat, actually.
Let me ask you about that. In the course of your duty as the controller, did you ever have the need to walk around the facilities?
Yes. One thing that I had to do quite often was we had this process. You have to get purchase requisitions signed and approved before we could order any supplies or anything from our suppliers, and so I had to go make sure I had the appropriate approval levels on the purchase requisition. So I would have to chase down scientists to get their signatures.
Where was Illumina's lunchroom at that time?
It was always here, I believe.
Could you walk through the big room to get to the lunchroom?
Yes, you could. For a while, actually, this door was open and you could walk right through there. I usually sort of took the shortcut, went through this door or like this, and walked through the big room rather than going all the way around it.
Would it be fair to say there were pretty close quarters in terms of how people were crammed together?
Oh, yes.
You can get back to your seat.
Thank you.
So back in the 1999 timeframe after you joined, who were the senior managers of Illumina?
There were four. There was Dr. Stupnagel, Dr. Zarnik, Dr. Chi, and Mr. Pytalewski.
Did you interact with all of them?
Yes, quite frequently.
Did you have any observations of Dr. Zarnik's work ethic in the time frame that you sat at the cubicle area?
Yeah, when I was sitting there, just in general or...
Just in general, in comparison to the way you observed others at Illumina.
Dr. Stupnagel and Dr. Chi and even Dr. Pytalewski, they seemed to be... It was a small startup company, and usually when you're in a small startup company, people are putting in a lot of hours, working really hard, trying to make... to have the company make it. And Dr. Zarnik seemed to be more about having fun, creating a fun environment to work in rather than a real disciplined environment.
You are not a scientist by training, are you?
No, and I didn't know much about the scientific industry when I got there. I'd been in high tech previously.
So, as a non-scientist but someone who worked in this very small environment, did you observe any differences in his work habits in terms of his coming and going or work hours?
Yeah, Dr. Zarnik sometimes would be gone for a couple of hours in the middle of the day, sort of not necessarily around lunchtime. I had asked him about it once, and he told me he liked to go swimming every day. I believe that was usually in the morning before the lunchtime. And it didn't seem to me that he was there as late at night as a lot of the other VPs.
Did you ever see any of the other VPs behaving disrespectfully toward Dr. Zarnik?
No.
Do you recall in about April of 1999, there was a grant application that had to be submitted for Illumina?
Yes, I do.
Do you recall who was responsible for that grant?
That was Dr. Zarnik, who was the PI, or principal investigator, on that grant, I believe.
Were you involved in the grant application preparation process?
Yeah, I was usually involved, only to the extent of helping, either helping with the budget or doing the entire budget, depending on the grant. The grant requires that you name certain scientists on the grant, and you have to put in their salary and fringe things like benefits, how much more their benefits cost, and I was involved in that. I had negotiated all the rates with the National Institute of Health for all of these fringe benefit rates and things like overhead rates and such. So I was involved usually on putting together the budget page.
Had you previously worked with anyone else on grant applications prior to this April 99 time period?
Yeah, I actually had previously worked with Dr. Chi on at least a couple when I had first come to Illumina.
Was there a difference in the approach for preparing these grant applications between Dr. Zarnik in April of 1999 versus Dr. Chi in the early examples?
When I first worked with Dr. Chi on it, I was new to the process and I did not have a great administration background. He had planned very far ahead and he worked with me and I had a lot of time to get stuff to him and get everything together. Dr. Zarnik, I remember, he and Steve Barnard were working on this grant together, and at the last minute, it was like a rush to get it out. You have to get in into the government by a certain time to have it considered for their next budget round, and it came to me the very last minute. Connie, can you please put this together? We need to get it out. I believe it was FedEx that day. So I had to drop everything and work on it and help them get some numbers together.
So would you say that Dr. Zarnik appeared to have been procrastinating?
Objection. Leading.
Sustained.
Was it your perception Dr. Zarnik waited too long to start on this project?
Objection. Lack of foundation.
Sustained.
Was it an imposition on you for Dr. Zarnik to come to you at such a late time to get this work done?
Objection. Relevance.
Overruled.
I did have to drop what I was working on because this was a fairly large grant application, so it meant a good amount of revenue for the company. So, of course, it was very important, so I had to drop everything else I was working on so I could do that.
Over time, did you have an impression of Dr. Zarnik's conduct as senior executive at Illumina?
Objection. Lack of foundation.
She can just answer that yes or no.
I'm sorry. Can you ask the question again?
Can we have this read back?
The reporter, please read back the last question.
Yes.
What was that?
Same objection.
What aspect? Can you narrow it down a little bit?
Did you have the impression Dr. Zarnik was working very hard?
Same objection.
Overruled.
Comparatively, no, to the other members who were on the staff.
How did you develop that impression?
Just through work habits and observations. Do you want specific examples?
For instance, did you interact with him on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I had to get signatures for documents. All of the VPs had to sign a lot of documents. Tony was also the second check signer, so any checks over a certain dollar amount required a second signature. So, yes, I did interact with him regularly, and I had to, so sometimes to try to find him.
So at the time of those interactions, did you develop an impression he just wasn't working as hard as the other senior managers?
Same objection.
I think that's already been asked and answered.
How did you develop that impression?
Asked and answered.
Overruled. You may answer.
There were times where I would have to go looking for Dr. Zarnik. Sometimes I would run into him in the break room. There are a lot of people in the break room at various times, in and out. We had sodas and some food there. And there were some times when we had a couple of conversations about non-work-related matters. I can specifically remember talking about the phenomenon of a green flash and what combination of fruit makes a tangelo. And both of these, we spent a good deal of time talking about. And an hour or more later, I would get an email, along with the other person who was in the conversation with us, would get an email from Dr. Zarnik with a website that explained it, and the impression was that he had spent that time looking on a website during work hours. Looking on a website, trying to figure out what a green flash was, what happened to cause a green flash, or what made up a tangelo, when I was working very hard trying to get my job done, and it was a little frustrating.
Did you express your frustration about this to anyone?
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
What about your position in your later office? I think you indicated you moved from that cubicle to a different location.
Yes.
Can you indicate where you moved to?
I moved to this. It's a walled office with a door.
Could you see into the big room?
Yes, there was a door right here going into the big room. It was closed, but it did have a window in it at head height. My desk was right here with my chair, and so if I stood up, and I had file cabinets, so if I stood up, basically, I had a direct line of sight into the big room.
Where could you see into the big room specifically?
I could generally see all the way down here and, you know, is sort of where the field of vision would go, like that.
Where did Dr. Zarnik sit?
Right there.
So based on the fact that you happened to sit at a location where you could see Dr. Zarnik's desk, did that add to your impression that he wasn't working very hard?
Yes.
How?
It never seemed like there was, I don't know, like when you're working really hard a lot of times, you have your head down, you're working on documents, and you look like you're in deep concentration. And it just looked like there was never a lot of, you know, documents on the desk, and he looked like he was spending, I had the impression he was spending a lot of time on websites.
I'll object and ask that last remark be stricken based on no foundation.
Stricken, lack of foundation, jury admonished to disregard it.
Sorry.
Could you see Dr. Zarnik's computer monitor from where you sat?
Yes, I could. If I stood up and was over here, I could see his computer. It faced this way.
Is that how you gained an impression he was looking at websites, by standing up and looking?
Yes.
Be seated. I think you mentioned earlier that because of these observations, you felt frustrated. Why did you feel frustrated?
Dr. Zarnik was the highest paid employee and had more stock granted to him than any other employee at Illumina.
How did you know that?
I tracked. I did stock administration, which is where you track all of the stock grants and ensure the vesting of them is accurate, and also I did all the payroll, so I had access to all that information.
So sorry I interrupted you. You said it frustrated you. Why did it frustrate you?
Objection. Relevance.
Sustained.
Do you recall any incidents in which you felt your interactions with Dr. Zarnik were unprofessional?
Objection. Relevance.
Sustained.
Did your impression of Dr. Zarnik's work ethic affect your work interactions with him?
Objection.
Sustained.
Were you present in about June of 1999 when a company picture was taken of people at Illumina at Town Center?
Yes.
I'll show you the picture. We're going to offer this as Trial Exhibit 388. It's a rebuttal exhibit. Unfortunately, it's the only one we have. Do you recognize this as a company photo that was taken in June of 1999?
Yes.
Are you in it?
Yes, I am. I'm sort of hidden behind Kevin Gunderson in the front. Do you want me to point myself out?
I'll bring it to you.
I'm right there.
Do you see Dr. Zarnik in the picture?
Yes, right there.
Who is he standing next to?
He is standing next to Dr. Stupnagel.
Is this the entirety of Illumina in June of 1999?
Yes, if somebody was sick that day or not there, they may be missing, but pretty much.
Do you know where this picture hangs in Illumina?
It hangs on a wall sort of outside of our executive boardroom.
Dr. Zarnik was clearly pictured in this photograph.
Yes.
Let's put up Trial Exhibit 343. And I'll represent to you that this was the picture taken in November of 2000. Are you in this photograph as well?
Yes, I am. I have to search to find myself again.
Do you recall why this picture was taken?
Why it was taken?
Yes.
It was the next year, every year we do a company photo, and this picture was done to represent the staff that had been there at the time of the IPO.
Is this the first time this picture had been taken of the people that were there during the IPO?
No. The first time had been shortly after our IPO, which happened in late July, so probably sometime in August.
And what happened to the photograph that was taken in August?
There were actually several photographs. They took several proofs, which they were given to the company to review to pick out which ones they liked best to have blown up. And they had all turned out very terrible, and we had to have the photographer come back and reshoot the photos. A lot of the time, the sun on people's faces was even worse than it was in this picture, and the people were squinting. It was a terrible photo.
Were you one of the people that reviewed proofs when they came back?
Yes.
Were these photographs taken by a professional photographer?
Yes.
Okay. So when this picture was retaken, do you have any understanding of why Dr. Chi is not in this photograph?
Yes, actually, he was there at one point, but he was hungry for breakfast and was running down the street going to get his breakfast, and we were all yelling at him saying, "Mark, where are you going?" And they took the photo without him in there.
I'm going to object, Your Honor. We know Dr. Chi doesn't eat.
That's what he told us anyway.
So the jury will be given a limiting instruction. It's not offered for the truth of the matter.
So, in fact, when this picture was taken, why was Dr. Zarnik not present? Do you know?
Dr. Zarnik had already left the company at that point.
Now, as director of finance, did you participate in helping put together the documents for the initial public offering?
Yes. Yes, I did all of the financial aspects of the S-1 filing.
And as part of that, how do you decide what to put into these documents? What information?
There's an exchange rule of 1933 Act and the 1934 Act. There's Security Exchange Commission Acts, and they are very strict rules about what goes in and what doesn't go in.
We've heard earlier some testimony about a document that I believe is a summary of officers' and directors' compensation, where people are listed by name and salaries are listed?
Yes.
Who prepared that part of the prospectus?
I prepared that.
Did you decide who to list in that document?
I put the people in that document who were required to be there under the SEC rules.
And did you omit Dr. Zarnik on that list?
Yes. At that point, Dr. Zarnik was not an officer, so he was not required to be in that table, so I did not put him in. Generally, one does not want to be in that table unless they have to be because all your compensation is made public, and so the general thinking is you don't want to be in it if you don't have to be.
So did anyone at any time instruct you not to list Dr. Zarnik in the prospectus?
No.
Cross-examination?
Yes, Your Honor.